Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another great program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave Colonen, who is the chaplain of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio, one of the finest gentlemen you'll ever meet on the airwaves or off the airwaves. Dave has an exciting program to share today, and he has the meat of this one, and it's very, very, very powerful. We're doing a takeoff and where we left off last week, to tell you the truth. We were talking about the three chairs. Remember talking about the three chairs and the understanding of what those chairs are, and then the ramifications that go beyond those things? In terms of a refresher, Dave, maybe not everybody's listening today also heard us last week. Would you kindly take a moment, if you would please, to remind people what those three chairs symbolize?
Well, this is a new concept to a lot of people. They'd be surprised what we're talking about today, but it makes sense. Mom and Dad found God and brought into the home a religion. They brought in a lifestyle, and they brought in, because they're from the old school, they brought in healing, they brought things that are important to life. And so we put them in the first chair. Second chair are people who, they've watched Mom and Dad, but they decided they were going to live their own life. So we put them in the second chair. They go to church. They're Christians. They're saved. But they don't have the, I see miracles, and I hear this, and I want to give my testimony. And then you have the third chair, which is the children. They don't care about anything. They don't care about going to church. They don't care about living for God. They don't even have a Bible. So we have to decide, what chair do we want to live in, sit in? You want to be a person that doesn't know Jesus, doesn't believe in the Bible, doesn't want to go to church, doesn't want to follow anything that's spiritual? They sit in the third chair. And the second chair is the people who have responded to God, but not quite all the way. They compromise. They feel like they can still live like this. And then the first chair are people that are really, every Sunday morning you could see their car leaving the garage. They're going to church. They're going to be there every Sunday, not miss, feel bad if they do. So Giff and I are trying to help you find which chair your family lives in. Where is the husband in the house? What chair does he live in? What do your children do? And how can you help them to live and move up from the third chair to the second chair, and then to the first chair? The first, second, and third chair, you can put in every walk of life. You can do mom, you can do dad, you can do the family, you can do the church. You can go to church and find out whether they live in the first chair or the second chair or the third chair, just by being involved, by sitting there, just listening, just watching. So we've tackled probably a subject kind of way over our head. Giff and I, we're going to try our best to deal with which chair. Maybe by the end of our broadcast today, you'll say, well, let me see. What do you – it won't take you that long. That's you'll right. say, yeah, like I asked you last week when we finished. I said, well, Giff, what chair do you sit in? Yes. Man, you jumped that. Yeah, I'm number one. I know I'm a number one. I'm serving God with all my heart. And that's what I want to hear it all over. I want people to get out on the porch and yell at us.
Yeah.
Loud enough to where we can hear WPFG. And, hey, I sit in the first chair. And if the Lord convicts you and you're living in the third chair, or your children are you're gonna pray different? You're going to live different? You're going to move up?
Yeah.
And so You want to go from here? Or you want me to explain some more?
Well, I think you've done an excellent job of setting the stage. I think maybe we should open a window here in the studio, because when all these people start screaming, I'm in chair one, I want to be able to hear them. There is a lot to be said, and we did a lot the last week, and we talked about these various levels of chairs and the lifestyles and the patterns, and Dave did a good job of refreshing you. And I want to move on to the next level right now. I want to talk about the very basics and how this starts off. And I've read some material. I'm going to share some of the words that I actually read out of a book, in fact. But it's quite powerful and quite meaningful. And it really levels the playing field so that everyone has a clear understanding of exactly the information we're trying to share with them. Sometimes I've learned in life that the basics are always rule. Every successful basketball coach, every single coach I've ever known, emphasized that the basics are what takes the fact. All of the facts begin with the basics. All of the victories begin with the basics. He began with dribbling, passing, shooting, your shooting stance, your footwork, good footwork on defense. Good coaches don't start with fancy backdoor passes or spinning slams. They focus on the basics. And 9 times out of 10, a team that is good with the basics will beat the team with the undisciplined players trying to relay a fancy footwork or exceptional plays. A good football coach is in the same way. He focuses on blocking, tackling, and carrying the football. He knows that the games are won with good blocking and tackling, not with flawless execution of flea flickers. No, it's more than that. Again, the basics are the rule to follow. The Super Bowl is played in America each year. And what determines the ultimate victory as the champions? Well, all of those champions have one thing in common. They do the basics better than anybody else. It is that they were more skilled in all of the use of the basic. That's what makes them winners. You can look it up. The team that blocked better, tackled better, and held onto the football usually won the game. They practiced the same thing over and over again. They didn't control the outcome of the most advanced football team in the world with fancy plays and multiple intrinsic steps. No, that's not what it takes to win a game at all. It's the truth about the basics and operation everywhere you go. From football down to the heart surgeon to the public speakers and the best writers and all of those people all stick to the basics. That's why the pros practice the basics all the time, over and over, until they correctly understand the applications of the basic controls, the outcome of the learning and the basics and the execution of anything that you and I can master. And if you really want to be successful, don't stop at learning the basics. Become skilled in use of all of those basics. Skilled in use of them. You got the idea? You see, the basics are what determines winners. If you can't figure out the relationship between the basics and your goals, then you'll discover how to use any system to accomplish your objectives. And that's how it works. You see, during the last many years, as we walk through the Bible, the Bible has trained us to be more Christian-like in our teachers because we want to teach on the basics, the teaching that is just above anybody else's in the world. And we have discovered that makes us what teachers extraordinary is an extraordinary attitude on the basics. The teachers use the basics of how to cause those students to learn with understanding and skill. That's it. It's the basics. And he uses them over and over again. When I am brought into the situation and ask for help of a floundering teacher, I always discover that they neglected the basics. In fact, I have yet to meet the first exception. Teachers do not fail because they lack knowledge. No. Do they lack the caring? No. Or from the lack of a desire? No. No, they simply fail because they do not understand. They don't understand and apply all of the basics of teaching. The universal principles involved, and they cause a person to think and to learn and to operate and to effectively get the job done with full understanding for any subject, in fact, and for any group of students, in fact. A whole school can be spiraled downward, everyone throwing their hands up in despair over the lack of discipline and the plummet of their test scores when no one masters the basics. you have to have a master teacher. And once you get a master teacher, they arrive, suddenly the impossible becomes very possible. And you don't just know my students will seem to like just disappear. Well, what changed? Why do some learn and some don't? Some disappear, some go strong. Well, simply one or two human beings who understand the basics usually use them effectively, and those who don't will fail. It's that simple. Dave, I know you got into some basic rules. Now, tell me about some of your rules. We'll start off with the very first one. What is one of the rules you like to follow?
Well, it's a basic part of life. If you want to be a mature person sitting in chair one, there's some rules that really help you get there if you're not. And that's what we want to talk about today. How do you get up to the first chair? Mm-hmm. If you're just not committed, let's talk about the word commitment.
Okay.
Being committed, what do you think about? What is commitment? Who's going to be the recipient of your commitment? Are you going to be committed to Christianity as just a religion? Are you going to be committed to your local church as a group of people? Will it mean that you're going to be committed to certain behaviors? You're going to have devotions. You're going to do tithing. You're going to share your faith. Does it mean you're going to be committed to becoming a missionary or a full-time Christian worker? How are you going to be committed to your spouse and to your family? And a lot of you are saying, hey, Dave, come on. I'm just a normal Christian. Well, I want to know what chair you sit in. What are you responsible for? The commitment is a big word. And if you don't want to be committed, you're going to be a second chair. You're definitely going to move out of the first chair of going to church, and you're going to sit in the second chair. You know, even having daily devotions is not going to make you a committed person. Many people practice the discipline and still they're not in the first chair. They're still in the second chair. So there's a lot to be said. The committed are simply loyal to Jesus. That's chair one. The committed simply follow Jesus. The committed simply obey Jesus. They submit to Jesus. They would die for Jesus. The committed would give anything for Jesus at any time and for any reasons. The committed, you know, they live their lives for Jesus. They're sold out to Jesus. They love Jesus. They want to talk about him. Sunday morning, you can go out and watch the cars who stay at home. You know, Judy and I drive all the way to church, and we see home after home after home, and the cars are all parked in the driveways, and you say, where are all these people? Then you go by the golf course, and you see all these guys playing golf, even in the rain, even in the snow this year. Yeah. And I said to Judy, boy, those people, they're not in the first chair, not by any stretch of the imagination. If you can go play golf on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock when you should be in church,
Something's wrong.
The basic rule of living, you're out of it. And if you are not helping your children, you can look right in your family. You can look right down the line, and your children are in third chair because they don't want to do anything you do. By the time they get to 18, 19, and 20, they won't even go to church.
That's right.
They'll tell you, hey, I'm grown up now. I'm 18, and I'm not going to church. I don't even own a Bible. Don't give me yours. That's where we are at. America is in chaos about church.
Yes, they are.
We are in a slide where 3,000 people a day quit the church. It's not worth it anymore. And this is a Christian radio station. Yeah. WPFG talks about Jesus. And if we are going to be doing our broadcasts and people are going to listen to us, we better say something. We better say something that's right. We better say something that's going to convict people and make a commitment out of them that says, you know, I like Giff and Dave. They're old, but they bring the truth. They tell us how we should really live. And if they live that way, then maybe I would want to live that way. So basic rules are very important, and committed is one. And if if I come by your house and your car is still in the driveway, I'll be knocking on your door.
That's right. Dave, you hit the nail on the head. I thank you for your overwhelming commitment, because that is exactly right. We are slipping and sliding. And I remember you sharing that statistic with us before. You were serious that maybe our listeners thought you might have just pulled that out of the air or read it someplace. But no, that's a fact. 3,000 Christians a day turn from the church. Is that correct?
That's right.
We have 3,000 a day.
Epidemic of a church slide.
Wow.
And we have to turn that around.
I know. We've got to do that.
And the church is going to be very important in that. The church is more than just going to a service and sitting there like a bump on a log and then leaving without even, you know. I love it when we go to church and we end up praying. We end up singing. Yeah. We end up going to the altar.
Yeah.
And the altar is a pretty big piece of furniture in the church that has gone by. Nobody goes there anymore.
Isn't that something? And church closures. You had a statistic on that, too, you shared once upon a time.
Like 1,700 churches.
1,700 churches close every year.
Yes.
1,700.
And 1,700 pastors leave their church. They're tired of trying to get people to do something that they don't want to do.
Isn't that incredible?
They're sitting in the second chair, and they don't want any part of the first chair.
I remember a couple of years back, I read some material about the churches in England. I read that they've all become museums.
2%. 2% of all of Europe. 2%. 2% go to church.
Not just England, but all of Europe.
And there's hundreds of churches that are million-dollar facilities empty.
Empty.
And they are for sale. And when I sang in Europe with the couriers, we went to a gorgeous church. And we said, Pastor, how in the world did you ever get this church built? This is beautiful. And he said, I bought it for a dollar. I mean, it was marble. It was a knockout. You walk in, you said, man, this is church. This will quiet you down. Yeah. You didn't even want to talk to disturb what was happening there in the sweet presence of a church. Wow. Nothing like that. So.
Wow. It's happening all over the world, so it's not just a problem here in the United States.
And we won't stop that until Jesus comes.
Yes.
And the sad part, and that's why I'm doing a lot of preaching about the end time.
Yes.
When Jesus comes, brother, people are going to come to their senses real quick, and it's going to be too late.
It's too late for the majority.
But we will all have been resurrected to be with Jesus, and all of those, in a twinkling of an eye. That's how fast it's going to be.
Yes.
And you know what will happen?
What's that?
Everybody will come to the church. It'll be packed out. There'll be a line from here to the river.
Yeah.
Trying to get in to find out, what can I do now? What can I do now? And then it's going to be too late. He said, we preached it for years.
Yep.
It's just like Noah and the Ark. He preached for 120 years. They all laughed at him. 120 years he preached.
Yes.
Can you believe it? One convert.
Not one.
Not one.
Not one.
We're going to get to that in America if we don't watch it.
I know.
And so that's why we're here. God put us in this place to tell people.
Well, you and I are trying to tell them to get back
to the basics. First chair. First chair.
Get there
committed.
Now.
Let's go.
Yep. Get back to the basics. Pay attention to the chairs. That's right. Which chair are you in? One, two, or three? Well, you think about it very carefully, and you weigh out your options.
There's second chair. We've been dealing with the first chair. Let's deal with the second chair. Right. There's a whole mess of material about the second chair people. You want to grab onto that?
All right. Well, let's see if we can find out a good place to pick that up. Do you feel comfortable with the words, or do they make you feel a little bit uneasy when we start talking about these issues? They may very well make you uncomfortable if you're a soul at war. Who controls your life? Is it Jesus, or is it yourself? The Spirit of God who dwells within you will always be active when Jesus is lifting you up. You see, the Spirit always seeks to glorify Christ in your heart and through your behavior. That trouble, all the false gods that lie hidden beneath the surface of your thoughts. You see, that's where Jesus will have no other gods before him. And that's why he will have no other gods before him. Although you may never, ever have thought about it, your heart may be filled with many other things that come before him. And that's why we're talking about the basics. You see, the committed have no other gods before Jesus. He was talking about the golf course. Now, what do you think their priorities are? Do they have any other gods before them on Sunday morning? You see, the committed have no other gods before Jesus. The compromisers may have many other gods before them. Unfortunately, the more religious a person is, the more the God in his life are religious. And the handler and the harder they are to identify. Once you experience salvation, things might turn a little bit. You see, you have the privilege of walking with him for the rest of your physical life, as well as receiving eternal life. And your life will be full of many and varied choices about who he is and who he's going to be in relationship to everything and everyone else. You see, he invites you to put everything and everyone in second place behind him. Anything else you might choose needs to be far behind him so that he will look like there is nothing else on the horizon except Jesus. Just Jesus. You see, the committed people who sit in the first chair have decided to follow Jesus. And he is all there is. As we follow him, he himself will lead us to forsake all other goals and set all other agendas. Those moments and those choices are choosing to put him first. They are what I call the moments of destiny for the committed. Don't be mistaken. Those moments can be years, intense, even fierce personal struggles. Letting go of your personal agenda is perhaps the hardest thing you'll ever do. But until you let go of what is in your hand, and your hand cannot open to find the hand of Jesus, you will not fully understand the complexity of living in the first chair. Is it this complicated? Or is it really complex? Or is it confusing? Well, not a bit, really. Yes, you see, it's one of the basics of the committed, and it can be the boiling point in just two words. I'll share them with you. Choose Jesus. It's that simple. Turn your hearts over to God and listen to the word of Jesus with humility. You will never be confused or unsure about where you stand today. He says, hey, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's written in Matthew. I didn't make that up. That's right out of the Bible. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. That's how it's written. In another place, the Lord said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or his mother or his wife or his children or his brother or his sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear the cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whoever of you chooses to forsake all others, he has not been my disciple. That's Luke 14, 26 and 27. Kind of awkward at places, I thought. Hey, David, we're running out of time. The clock on the wall says we've got to go. But do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to share? We're trying to share with the importance of being committed to the first chair. You have any closing thoughts for our listeners on that?
It's too big. It's too short a time. Tomorrow, I want to talk to everyone about the second chair so that they can see the difference. What do second chair people do about life and church and God? And I want to get into that, but boy, the time goes by.
Oh, it goes so
quickly.
Why don't you
tell them that we need more time?
That's good. Yeah, that's good. It should be an hour program.
Let's do that tomorrow. What do you say?
Hey, that's a good idea. Let's pick it up tomorrow where we left off today. And I like your trend of thought. Basic rules. And let's pick it up and see what about that chair number two. But for now, Giff and Dave, hey, we have to say it's been great being with you. Bye-bye for now.
You betcha. Dave Colonna here. I want to be a part, so we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.